නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස So we have covered the sabbacitta sadharana. What means the sabbacitta sadharana? Have you found out in your book? The mental factors present in each and every moment of cognition without exception. In the northern system, in the Vaibhashika system, they are called Mahabhumika. Maha means great, Bhumi means the stage. The great stage, it means that in each and every mind they are present. And there are seven of them. I hope you remember them. Which are the seven? Starting with what? Starting with faso, with contact, very important. If there is faso, everything comes with it. When there is no faso, nothing will appear. So without faso, no question of any cognition of anything. So when the faso is there, who comes next? This is also desana. Buddha has taught two ways of teachings. One is desanakama, one is upapatikama. Desanakama is in accordance with the in order to make the teaching clear, in order to make the teaching powerful, in order to make the teaching last. And the other way of teaching is according to the order of arising. So one is according to the order of teaching, one is according to the order of arising. Here it is according to the order of teaching, because it's dhammas, they arise simultaneously. But still there is order in the way of importance. So after faso comes vedana, because vedana is a king among, as we have said, a king among the mental factors, because it receives the object. When there is touch, contact, the vedana is that Dhamma which receives the object, which experiences the object. And the other Dhammas, they are responsible for the content of experience. So after Vedana, then comes the Sanya. There is no question of any cognition, any kind of cognition, even the most rudimentary cognition, as we have said, as reflecting the object in the eye or in the ear, without nimitta gahana. Sanya, as we have said, is nimitta gahana, the taking or grasping at the sign of the object. When there is grasping at the sign of the object, what comes inside? The act of willing. Without act of willing, no question of mind moving. So when the mind takes sign of the object, it is moving. So the chetana comes in. Act of willing. When the chetana is there, when the act of willing is there, what happens? As we have seen, the manifestation of Chetana is that it coordinates the other Dhammas. And when the other Dhammas are coordinated, they are put together. So the next, the as we have said, the force, mental force that keeps the co-arising mental phenomena together is called Samadhi. So whenever Chetana appears, there must be Samadhi, otherwise the mind will scatter. The Samadhi is the opposite of scattered mind. Even if we are excited, even if we have doubt, still we have to keep the mental factors together, otherwise there will be no continuity in cognition. So, when there are these forces, then there has to be someone to take care of them, to make them appear, make them run. And that is, as we have said, that is a jivita indriya. The life faculty. Here it is mental life faculty. Then the last that comes in is manasikara. Manasikara means literally, as we have said, making in the mind. In accordance with what we make in the mind, we then cognize the object. So, making in the mind or attention comes last as the necessary Dhamma. Mental Dhamma, whose presence is inseparable from any kind of cognition. So these are the seven so-called sabbachitta sadharana which we have discussed, and we have pointed out their understanding is also very important for understanding the way the mental factors were analyzed in different systems. It has to do with the method of meditation. We have pointed out that, for example, in the Yogacara system, we have only five mental factors appearing in each and every moment of cognition. And these are the mental factors belonging to the Alaya Vijnana. Because in the Yogacara system, all that can be experienced can only be experienced in the world on the basis of the Alaya Vijnana, because Alaya Vijnana is the depository of all our experience. And it is where all our experiences are, on one hand, are stored, and on other hand are being put in. appropriated. So it appropriates all that we can experience in the world and stores it. Therefore, as we have seen, the samadhi is not present among the mental factors present in each and every cognition, because alaya vijnana, being the simultaneous support for all doors of cognition, these different cognitions can appear at the same time. Then, in the Northern Buddhism, as we have said, the Jivita Indriya belongs to the category of Citta Viprayukta Sanskaras, of the formations separated from mind, which is a category different, which does not exist in the Theravada. That's where it is classified in the Northern Buddhism, in Vaibhashika or in Yogacara. Then we have pointed out in the Vaibhashika system, in Yogacara we have five, the Sabbacitta Sadharanas. In the Vaibhashika system we have 10. And it is very important to understand why 10. It also has to do with the way of seeing. What we make in our minds that we see. And they, the Vaibhasikas, they make things in mind in a different way. How? They do not analyze the different stages of the process of cognition, but for them the process of cognition is the momentary appearance and disappearance of all dhammas concerned that appear together and disappear together in each and every moment of cognition. That means whatever object is being prominent to the cognition, on that object appear, depends on the nature of cognition, all these different dhammas, and disappear. And again appear and disappear as long as this same kind of cognition takes place. If we meditate in this way, then no wonder that among the mental dhammas present in each and every moment of cognition, we find, beside these six dhammas, except the Jivita Indriya, which is, as I have mentioned, the belongs to the category of citta viprayukta sanskara, not to the nama, to the mental factors. So beside the six mental factors, that is faso, vedana, sanya, cetana, samadhi and manasikara, they add other four factors like mati, which means wisdom in the sense of discrimination, which has to exist in each and every moment of cognition, no matter whether it is a correct discrimination or faulty discrimination. Then we have sati or smriti, which belongs in Theravada to the wholesome mental factor. Then we have adimokha, we have determination, which also belongs to the scattered pakinaka mental factors in the Theravada tradition, and chanda, the desire to do something, which also belongs to the pakinaka factors, scattered factors, scattered in the sense that they appear in different types of cognition, wholesome, unwholesome, resultant, and automatic kriya. All four kinds of cognition, these can appear. So we will speak about this pakinaka, scattered mental factors later. We have started yesterday talking about the process of cognition, the understanding of which is the key to understanding of the whole of Theravada system of Abhidhamma. Not only of Theravada, but in a Theravada it has its peculiarity. And this peculiarity we have discussed in terms of three kinds of manasikara, three kinds of making in the mind. The first is manasikara, common manasikara, as we have pointed out, which has to appear in each and every moment of cognition. Then the second and third, they are manasikara in the sense that they are not just one mental factor, but they are moments of cognition where mind is dominated by attention, by making object in the mind, or by turning towards the object. They are panchadvara avajana, the turning towards the object of the five senses, and manodvara avajana, the turning towards the mental object. What is panchadvara avajana, please? Can you remember?
Did you just say?
Yes. What is panchadvara avajana?
Turning the mind to the five senses.
To the object. When does it appear?
Manasika. And two, I think one is normal, and you say the two others.
Mano dvara vajana and pancha dvara vajana. Huh? What is the difference between mano dvara vajana and pancha dvara vajana? your test. Five doors. Yes, in regard to the object of the five senses, is pancha dvara avajana. In regard to the mental object, so that means the outer object, is the outer object is being paid attention to after the bhavanga has been interrupted by this mind, pancha dvara vajana, the turning towards the five doors. When the object of mind comes from inside, from the bhavanga itself, then is a mano dvara vajana, which also then interrupts the flow of bhavanga. The flow of bhavanga is towards what object? We have discussed it before, you should remember. What is the object of bhavanga? The near-death consciousness, last active process of cognition of our past life is the object of bhavanga. If there is no active cognition, then our mind stays with that object. It is very important to understand. In deep sleep, where is our mind? In bhavanga. If you become unconscious, where is your mind? In bhavanga. That's why there is continuity in mind. Otherwise, how will you explain that you can remember past experiences? How will you explain that you get up in the morning from sleep and you still can carry on? Because where have you been at that time? You have been in bhavanga. Very nice, stay there. But as far as bhavanga is there, nothing to learn. Everything that one can learn, one can only learn from the active processes of cognition. From bhavanga, nothing to learn. So, in order for active process of cognition to take place, what has to happen? The bhavanga has to be interrupted. Then, when the bhavanga is interrupted, what happens? Happens this attention mind, automatic attention mind. If it is object of the five senses, it will be panchadvara vajana. If it is object, if it is mental object, it will be manodvara vajana. Now, manodvara vajana, we distinguish in the Abhidhamma two kinds of manodvara vajana. The first is called anubandhika, that means following the cognition of the five door cognition. Suppose you see a tree outside, then you see a tree, you by visual consciousness you only distinguish, you only notice it is a tree. Then you start thinking, what kind of tree? What is the characteristics of this tree? What can you do with it? What kind of wood? All these different thoughts that they may come connected with a tree, all this then does not belong anymore to visual consciousness, it is mental consciousness. Suppose I see Sasha there writing on his computer. I see him very clearly, but when I look at him with a visual consciousness, I only know this shape. Then I start thinking, this Sasha, he is massaging like this or like that. He's pleasant or unpleasant. He is this or that. He comes from where, or what is he doing? All these things, then it's just mental consciousness following the visual consciousness. So after few processes of visual consciousness, then innumerable processes of mental consciousness can arise, where we start evaluating what we have seen. This is called then the mental consciousness which follows the cognition of the at the five doors. Then we have so-called visum visum, mano dvara vajana. What is visum visum? Visum visum means independent. Suppose somebody is tired, like some of you maybe, then you start little bit dozing off, then you suddenly remember something what my mother did, what my father did, what my brother did, what I have to do day after tomorrow, or you may remember suddenly something from your childhood or from whatever comes suddenly. All this is then visum visum, independent mental cognition which does not follow the five doors cognition. And it may continue renewing as far as you. It is a whole one cognition, then leads to a whole chain of cognition. But they do not follow the intermediate, the object perceived by the five doors. They may be connected to the, of course, they are connected to the object perceived by the five doors, but not intermediate. So they come, so to say, they come from memory, from the sanya, from the perception in a distant past. So we have started discussing that all that happens to our active mind are just the processes of cognition and understanding. In practically in the Theravada Buddhism, even the understanding of the interdependent origination, as it is explained in Patana and so on, is directly linked to these processes of cognition. So understanding of these processes of cognition is a link, is a base for understanding the whole system of Theravada Abhidhamma. And it is the peculiarity of Theravada, because there is mention of the mental processes, for example, in Yogacara, in the Yogacara Bhumi. There is brief mention in the Sautrantika, in Satyasiddhi Shastra, and so on, of Harivarman. But very, very, compared to Theravada, the analysis of the mental processes is very rudimentary. The peculiarity of the Theravada Abhidhamma is that we have a very detailed and thorough analysis of the mental processes. And we are very fortunate in the Theravada. It is still a living tradition. One can still learn it, to see these mental processes and to analyze these mental factors. So if you want to enter deeply into the science and even understand how the teachers of the past evaluated these mental and rupa dhammas in other traditions, it is very, very useful to learn this, because it is a living tradition. It is not dead tradition. So try your best to understand as much as you can get. So now we come to the panchadvara cognition, to the cognition of at the five doors. And we have started explaining that yesterday. What happens when a color strikes the eye, or when a sound struck the ear? What happened is that the bhavanga mind is vibrated, having been vibrated, it is interrupted. We have compared it to the stone being thrown into river or into pond. When the stone sinks, then the waves, vibrations appear and spread. The waves spread all around. Similarly, when the bhavanga is struck by outer or inner object, it first vibrates, then it is interrupted. If it is object of the five doors, then what happens? The pancha dvara vajana chitta, the mind which whose function is attention, is manasikara. Even so, it contains, beside manasikara, many other mental dhammas, like the sabbacitta sadharana, the seven sabbacitta sadharana that we have just discussed, applied thought, sustained thought. Yet, nevertheless, it is manasikara in the sense that it's the function of that cognition is making the object in the mind, turning towards the object. then this mind, panchadvara vajana, turning towards the object of the five senses, as we have said, is an automatic mind. It is not a result of karma. It is not has not any wholesome or unwholesome nature. It just happens automatically, just like when you throw the stone automatically. When it sinks down, the waves will appear. There is no question of being resultant of any karma, or no question of being wholesome or unwholesome. When this has happened, automatically, this is a citta niyama. The Theravada always speaks about the niyama, means the law. This understanding, Buddhism is understanding the law. And one of the most, beside the citta niyama, the law of the mind, the commentaries also speak of the dhamma niyama, the law of dhamma. Kamma niyama, the law of karma. Bija niyama, the law of what we would today call the genetic law. All these are niyamas, the rules. It cannot but happen. We just don't have the choice. You don't want to make it happen. No way. We are just like waves on the ocean. When the wind blows, we have to we have to start moving. So there is no question of any individual influencing this process, or any outer force influencing this process. It is the law of the process itself. It is very important to understand, because it is a law of the process itself. It is completely selfless. Then, whether you like it or not, after the Bhavanka has been interrupted and the mind has turned towards the object, then if the object is visual object, it will be reflected in the sensitivity of the eye by visual consciousness. If it is sound, it will be reflected by the sensitivity of the ear, and so on, till if it is tangible object, it will be reflected in the sensitivity of the body. And sensitivity of the body, as compared to the other sensitivities, is spread, as we have said yesterday, all around the body. The other sensitivities are only concentrated in the organs concerned. Sensitivity of the eye in the eye, sensitivity of the ear in the ear, and so on. Is it clear? If not clear, I always repeat till you you can like a parrot. This is a system of learning Abhidhamma in Bamma. When they learn Abhidhamma, they all have to learn by heart. Till even the parrots in the surrounding, they start chirping the Abhidhamma lines. So I always repeat so that you become more and more clear, then you will be become familiar with this stuff. So after, that means what is the difference also among many differences between the mental cognition and the cognition at the five doors? The cognition at the five doors has only one base. And this base is, according to the Suttanta system, it is a Bhavanga. According to the Abhidhamma system, it is a so-called Hadaya Vatu. It is a peculiarity of the Theravada system, very vehemently criticized by the Yogacharins and even by the Vaibhashikas. The base of mental cognition in the Theravada is this Hadaya Vatu, which is Rupa also. It is a corporeality, hard base. This corporeality, it is corporeality, and actually we can analyze this corporeality. It is not a fantasy of the acharyas. If you meditate in a certain way, you can see it. And it has been in the commentaries, even its shape has been mentioned. It is like an upside down turned lotus flower. And it is in the blood, in the heart. This idea that the base of cognition is in the heart is nothing new. It is very old idea in the Indian philosophy. It is very pre-Buddhistic. It comes in the Upanishads and in the Vedas. The old Indians never considered the seat, the base of cognition, the head. Head is only the supportive organ, not the seat of cognition. The seat of cognition is heart. Or the base of cognition is heart. The Buddhism is just continuing this tradition. Depends what the system they belong to. They have different systems of Indian philosophy. The most common jhana was on prana, these chakras. Chakras, prana. Then they also worked on the kasina, is very old system. They worked on the kasinas. That's what Buddha learned with his two teachers, with Alara, kasinas, the color, kasina objects. Then there was definitely also the concept of God, depends on the teacher, on the system. No, it is a very old Indian tradition, as old as one can be, but the indifference to the common yoga practice, the anapanasati, you don't try to influence the flow of the breath. In the other Indian system, they first, before coming to the mastery of breath, they try to influence. Finally, it comes to the same. They also let go. But before letting go, they influence the traditional yogic discipline of pranayama. Pranayama is the forcing, in a way, the flow of breath. In Theravada, you never force the flow of breath. Can we ask questions between? Okay, you can ask. But we will not make it a practice. We will maybe then leave some minutes at the end, because whenever a question arises, then we will have to interrupt. Then we will not come to the end, because we are in the very beginning, and still only 2 weeks to go. So we have to push a little bit, so that you get more information, then you can put things better together. So the process of cognition related to the five senses is then connected with two bases. The Bhavanga base, or the Hadayavatu, must be always there. Strictly speaking, in the Abhidhamma, the Bhavanga is the door of cognition, and the Hadayavatu is a base of cognition. So in the cognition by the senses, you have two bases then. The Bhavanga has to be there, or the Hadayavatu has to be there, and then the Chakupasada, the sensitivity of the eye, has to be there. Then after the mind has turned towards the object, it is reflected, the cognition then comes to the eye. It is reflected in the eye. Then having been reflected to the eye, it is again received by the mind door. So this is what we call sampatichana citta. Sampatichana citta is the receiving mind. And this, as we have said, this receiving mind is what kind of mind? Resultant consciousness. Just like eye consciousness, the receiving mind is also resultant consciousness. After it has been received, by the mind, it is investigated by the mind. The investigating moment of consciousness is also a resultant consciousness. And it is what kind of resultant consciousness? The I consciousness, the receiving consciousness, and the investigating consciousness, what kind of resultant consciousness? There are two types of resultant consciousness. One is with hetu, with causes, and one is without causes. What is the cause? There are six causes. Due to the six causes, the samsara, the state of impermanence, continues, as long as the causes are there. On the wholesome side, the cause is non-greed, non-hate, and non-delusion. On the unwholesome side, it is the opposite, the greed, hate, and delusion. These are the causes of the worldly cognitions. So these visual consciousness, receiving consciousness, and investigating consciousness, they are resultant consciousnesses without causes. That means in them there can appear only sabbacitta sadharanas, only the seven mental factors common to each and every moment of cognition, and some of the pakinakas, which pakinakas? Some of the six scattered factors of consciousness. Scattered means they can appear, as we have said, in wholesome condition, unwholesome condition, in automatic cognition, and also in the resultant cognition. In all types of cognition, they can be scattered. So these scattered factors also can appear in not in visual consciousness, but in the receiving consciousness, in the investigating consciousness. Which scattered factors are appear, let us leave it when we talk about the chetasikas. So in these moments of cognition, that means the receiving mind and the investigating mind, and also the visual consciousness, no question of wholesome or unwholesome mental factors appearing. These wholesome or unwholesome mental factors have just no place in these moments of cognition. So after the receiving, mind has received the object and has investigated the object, then next comes the automatic mind, which decides about the object. This automatic mind deciding about the object is called votapana, deciding mind. This deciding mind, after investigating, just like the panchadvara avajana, just like the mind turning towards the object of the five door cognition, they are automatic minds, kiriyachitas. And they are automatic minds also without causes, no question of being wholesome or being accompanied by wholesome or unwholesome factors of cognition. So automatically, after the object has been investigated, object of the five door cognition has been investigated, what happens? The decision about the object happens. Strictly speaking, from the Abhidhamma, from the Paramatta point of view, if the decision is anicca, dukkha, anatta, asubha, then what follows will be wholesome active process of cognition, wholesome javana, or wholesome running through the object. Javana means running through the object. This is the longest part of cognition. If the decision is, or manasikara is nicca, sukha, atta, the non-changing, giving satisfaction, self, and pure, then what follows in the running through the object will be unwholesome process of cognition. So this is a challenge for you to find out how much of our cognition is wholesome and how much is unwholesome in the sense of paramatta, in the sense of supreme reality. Try to find out how much of your cognition is wholesome and how much is unwholesome. Here, of course, wholesome means leading to liberation. Unwholesome means not leading to liberation. In absolute sense, really wholesome is only that which leads to liberation. Nothing else is wholesome in the absolute sense. In the relative sense, of course, wholesome also means connected with wholesome karma, like giving and so on. But as long as there is a self in the giving, so the wholesome is always connected with also with unwholesome. This is the nature of samsara. As long as samsara exists, the wholesome is always connected with unwholesome. And if the unwholesome is not there anymore, then the samsara comes to end. So you should be very clear about this Abhidhamma perspective, which is not quite the same as the perspective we normally use. But in Abhidhamma, of course, there is place for the relative perspective. But this relative perspective cannot be complete without understanding the highest perspective, the perspective of liberation. So this running through the object is the longest part of the process of cognition. It lasts 7 moments. Some acharyas accept 6 moments also. 7 or 6 moments is the normal, usually 7. 7 moments of running through the object or active enjoyment of the object. Then after the mind has run through the object, after it has thoroughly experience the object, it falls again into bhavanga. If the object is atimahanta, very clear, then before the mind falls into bhavanga, there will appear 2 moments of tat aramana citta. Tat aramana citta is also a resultant mind. Just like visual consciousness receiving the object, or investigating the object, the tat aramana. Tat aramana means literally that object. That means after the mind has run through the object and experienced it thoroughly, then before it falls into bhavanga, into the base of consciousness, there is kind of affirmation of the that was the object of our cognition. How to understand it? Now we have mentioned the example of the mango eater. So I will illustrate it by the example of the mango eater, which is the most common example used in the tradition. Sometimes also the example of the spider. Spider is a very good also example. Why? Because a spider is the symbol of being caught in the net. Because we are not aware that these mental processes are happening automatically, that they are perfectly selfless in nature. Therefore, we are being caught in these mental processes and we cling to them. We want to change them. We resist them. If the object is unpleasant, we cling to them. If the object is pleasant, this is being caught in the net. There is a wonderful verse in the Dhammapada. Let me see if I can remember it. Raga anupata, raga rata te anupatanti sotam makatako eva sayam katam jalam etam chitvana vajanti dira anupekhino sabba dukkhapahaya. Very wonderful. What does it mean? Raga rata, those who are rata, who are finding enjoyment in raga, in desire, they follow the stream of samsara, the stream of suffering of impermanence. Just like a spider following his own net or caught in his own net. The wise man, dhira, wise man, having cut off this net, they go on anapekino, they go on with upeka, with how is best translation of upekha? With equanimity, the wise man having cut off this net, spider net, they go on with equanimity. Having abandoned all suffering. So, you have much to learn. I hope you do your best. If you want to go as a wise man, you have to cut off this spider net in which you have yourself you have woven. Is it true or not? So, learning Abhidhamma is a very useful means for cutting off the spider net. In the sense, first you have to understand it, then you can cut it off. And there is no better understanding than through Abhidhamma. So, let us come to the example of the mango eater. So, imagine you are sleeping under a mango tree with a cloth over your eyes. You put the rope over your eyes and sleep peacefully under the mango tree. What state, what condition is that? That is nothing but bhavanga. As long as the base of consciousness is there with its object, it is like being in a deep sleep. You don't cognize anything. Then suddenly a ripe mango, the wind blows and the ripe mango falls from the tree. Boom! Then what does a sleeper do? Wakes up, takes off the clothes from his takes off the clothes from his face. This taking off the clothes from his face is like panchadvara avarjana. He turns towards the object of the five door perception. Then what does he do after that? He sees the mango. This is the chakku vijnana, the visual, the moment of reflecting the object in the sensitivity of the eye. When the object has been reflected in the sensitivity of the eye, what happens? What happens to the mango eater? He stretches his hand. He receives it. Then, after he has received it, what happens? He takes it in his hand and investigates it. He squashes it. Is it a ripe mango? Is it a good mango? This is the investigating consciousness. Yes?
What is it when he receives it?
He stretches his hand towards it.
What is this?
it is the mano vijnana vipaka chitta. It is the most rudimentary mind of just receiving. It is mano dhatu as compared to mano vijnana dhatu. Mano dhatu is the most rudimentary mental cognition. Then mano vijnana dhatu is a little more complex cognition. So this is receiving, is then the resultant consciousness. It is the mano dhatu. Then follows the resultant consciousness belonging to mano vijnana dhatu. The more complex differentiation is already there, because the turning to the object and receiving the object is still directly related to the bhavanga. It is not developed consciousness. Then the investigating is already more developed consciousness, because it is already related to the act of deciding and experiencing the object. So then he squeezes it in his hand. It is like investigating. When he has squeezed this in his hand, he found out that it is indeed a good mango. Then he smells it and finds out it's good to eat. Then smelling it is deciding. It's like deciding about the object. This indeed is good to eat. Then the javana, 7 moments of running through the object, of actually experiencing the object in the sense of wholesome or unwholesome cognition. If he is an arahat, then in sense of automatic cognition. Then he runs through the object, that means eating the mango. He experiences it fully. Then after he has eaten the mango, if the taste is really very clear, then when he has swallowed it, there still remains something in his mouth. So he swallows the saliva. That is like tat aramana, that object, affirmation of that object. And then what does he do? He again takes the cloth and put it on his eyes and continues sleeping quietly. So this happens in one snap of finger. You have to understand, happens thousands, even tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of such processes. The speed of mind is incredible. But yet, if you have trained in concentration, the concentration is like the microscope. Whatever you see through microscope, if you magnify it 10,000 times, then even the one cell will look like a whole house. So similarly, even so, these processes are so fast due to the virtue of concentration. You can magnify them to such an extent that you can bring them to stop. And investigate them carefully, each and every constituent part of that process. This is a secret of the Abhidhamma. So, before the mind can take a new object, it necessarily has to fall into Bhavanga. Only then it can again cognize a different object. It is impossible that one process of cognition follows another process of cognition without first mind having fallen into the base of cognition, Bhavanga, and then turned to a different object. But because the speed of these mental processes is so great, we do not normally notice it. It is unnoticeable. But since we have started with the Mahagata Chitta, with the sublime mind, and you have trained your mind in the art of staying continuously with the same object for a long, long time. So, if the mind has such a concentration, it is able actually to see these processes. So, now, before we end, what we have described is the mental process when the object is very clear, Atimahanta. If the object is very clear, then the process of cognition lasts for 17 moments. This has been decided by the Panditas, not by me. And what are the 17 moments? First, the Panditas, they count the past Bhavanga. After the past Bhavanga comes the Bhavanga Chalana, the vibration of Bhavanga. After the vibration of Bhavanga comes the moment of cutting off the Bhavanga. After the moment, so you have past Bhavanga, vibration Bhavanga, cutting Bhavanga, three moments. Then turning towards the object, fourth moment. Then receiving the object, fifth moment. Then investigating the object, sixth moment. Then deciding about the object, seventh moment. Then seven moments of running through the object, of enjoying the object. That means 14 altogether. Then affirming two moments of reaffirming the nature of the object, tat aramana, and then falling back to Bhavanga. So altogether 17, and according to the Panditas, we can see the present color or hears a present sound, because the speed of the impermanence of rupa is 16 times. Slower than the impermanence of mind. 16, as we have said, is a very good number. If you will insist, you can make it 17 or 18 or 19, but 16 is a very good number. Good to remember, because in India, many things are measured by 16. If you read the Buddhist literature, you will understand the pleasure of the lower heaven is 16 times less than the pleasure of the higher heaven. In one rupiah in the old times, when I was student in India, in the old times, in 1 rupee there used to be 16 units, also like shillings in England. How many shillings? 12 shillings in the pound. So in the India in old times, there used to be 16 annas in the 1 rupee. Now it is only the old people remember these times. Okay, so we have already fulfilled our time. Now we will see, we have discussed the 5-door process, then we will see how it happens with the mind door process, and how it happens with a special mind door process, which is entering the different stages of jhana, and also with realizing the same special process of cognition in realizing the supramundane path and fruit. We will discuss it tomorrow. For today, I think that will do. And I hope you are not forgetting your book. What I am talking about, you can look up in your book, so that if there are any misapprehensions or difficulties, then you can sort it out with the help of the book, or by asking me now. Still, if there is some urgent question, please, you wanted to ask something? No. In the Theravada tradition, Bhavanga is the door of cognition, the dvara. You can look it in the third chapter here. You have the dvara and vatu, the 6-6. So you have 6 dvaras, 6 doors of perception, and the 6 bases of perception. So the bhavanga is the door of perception, and the hadayavatu is a base of perception. For example, in the vaibhasika system, the past mind is not the bhavanga, but the past mind is the door of perception. The manas, it is called manas in the Vaibhasika system. Manas is the base of the manovijnana, and the manas they call the past mind. And in the Yogacara system, of course, the base of all cognition is the alaya vijnana. Alaya vijnana is the base for the manas and for the pravritti vijnana, and the pravritti vijnana base is then manas. And manas base is the alaya vijnana. The manas is that which sees the alaya vijnana as a self. And the pravritti vijnana, the discriminating consciousnesses, are based on that mind. That is the peculiarity of the Yogacara system. So that means that the outer object does not exist. We have started already discussing that in the normally in all the traditions except the Yogacara, the vijnana manas is a synonym. Vijnana manas and the citta, they are synonyms. But in Yogacara, citta stays for alaya vijnana, the eighth consciousness. Manas state for the seventh consciousness. Seventh consciousness is that consciousness which is the base for the discriminating consciousness, the six consciousnesses. And alaya vijnana is base for all, base for manas and also base for the discriminating consciousness, because everything comes from the alaya vijnana. Outer object does not exist in that system. The eye sensitivity is the base for eye consciousness. Vatu. You see in the third chapters you have six kinds of vatu. The first is the chakupasada, sotapasada, ghanapasada, jihvapasada, kayapasada, and hadaya vatu. Okay. We will talk about it tomorrow. Four types of perception at the five door perception, and two types of perception at the mental door. Okay. Sunday, no teaching. Saturday, I am afraid also no teaching, because I am not sure yet, but maybe I make an excursion. You have examination all day. And Saturday, the monk Dhammadipa going to Strasbourg for excursion. You have been to Strasbourg? And then maybe if time enough, then go to Le Vosges, the Vogesen. So, Dhammadipa making excursions, you making examinations. But next week we can have then. So, okay, we will, as usual. Akasatta chabumartha deva naga mahidika punyang tang anumoditwa chiram rakantu loka sasanang. Akasatta chabumartha deva naga mahidika punyang tang anumoditwa chiram rakantu desanang. Akasatta chabumartha deva naga mahidika punyang tang anumoditwa chiram rakantu tumamparang.